have great tips for you that you don't want to miss. Have your paper and pen ready so that you can write down whatever it is that you don't want to forget. We have practical matters, practical health, and much more. But before we go any further, let's ponder our practical thought.
Thank you. Our thought is as follows. A little rain each day will fill the rivers to overflowing. Let me repeat that. A little rain each day will fill the rivers to overflowing. I'm pretty sure you've all seen rivers. Well, have you wondered how they fill up? They must start somewhere. I find it interesting in the summertime where I'm from. The summer is dry. It's dry, very dry and hot. And then when the rain comes, oh, the beautiful rain. You find that the rivers begin to fill up. But once the rain stops, what happens? The water disappears. But the rain is persistent. 1 week, 2 weeks, it rains. And it doesn't have to shower and thunder and pour. But just that consistent daily rainfall is what ends up filling the rivers. So, a little rain each day will fill the rivers to overflowing. Stop and take the time to think about what that really means, about what that is saying to you. We'll explore that a little bit later. But right now, let's switch over to, you guessed it, practical matters.
Hello and welcome to Practical Matters. Last time we were looking at what the negative consequences were that if we decided to compromise on our values and do it wrong. So to have sex before we were married. But what are the benefits? There's always a flip side to the coin. And with us in studio, we still have Mandla, and we've been having very insightful discussions, and we're continuing today on this topic. What are the benefits of doing it right?
Thank you very much. The first major benefit to doing it right is that spiritually, it's a very, very good milestone.
Mm-hmm.
Because for people who are religious, people who are spiritual, you'll find that abstinence is in line with what they believe. Because as we had indicated before, no major religion in the world actually promotes people having sex before they get married.
Mm.
They all find sex to be very good, but only in the context of marriage.
Yes.
So when you stick to that, you'll find that you spiritually, it helps you. You feel open to pray. You feel open to read scripture. You are able to see this victory in your life as a basis for other areas in your life.
So you feel like you've overcome.
Yes, you feel like you've, and you also feel like you can do it elsewhere in your life as well. So it's not just limited to sexual abstinence. It helps you spiritually. You feel open. As we had indicated, one of the disadvantages is that once you engage in it, you feel uncomfortable approaching God.
Yes.
In prayer. You feel lazy to go to your scriptures. You, in other areas of your life, you are not as faithful as you could have been. Why? Mm-hmm. Because there's this one major thing that's happening in your life. So abstinence has that benefit for the people who are spiritual and religious. It is in line with their beliefs. It's in line with their values.
So what you're saying is basically that it can spill over into other places where you think, well, if I can abstain from this, then I can do it in this area as well, and
exactly.
I can do it in that area as well. And that just helps you overall to be a much more self-controlled person.
That is very true, because it's very difficult. You can't run away from yourself.
No.
As much as you can avoid certain things in certain places, you can't avoid yourself. So if you're able in the area of your sexuality to overcome, there are areas you realize just kind of flow. So
okay.
That's the first major benefit.
So there must be more.
Yes, there are more.
Well, tell me about it.
The second one is your self-concept.
Mm.
The idea of who you are. You would sit there and know that one of the reasons you would not rob a bank is not because you don't have the option.
Mm.
You just don't, you're not the kind of person that robs banks. That's it. The reason why you would not kill someone is just you're just not the kind of person who kills. Yes, you are angry. Yes, you want to slap them or something. But there are certain things you don't do because you're not that kind of person.
Mm.
And that's your self-concept. And that serves as a protection to us. There are a lot of things we end up not doing. There are a lot of places we end up not going to. There are a lot of things we end up not trying because that's not part of who we are. The benefit of abstinence is it helps to define the kind of person you are. You end up becoming the kind of person who doesn't sleep with the person they're not married to. It'll happen in later on in your life when you're married.
Mm.
You'll be the kind of person who just does not have affairs.
Mm.
And you hardly ever just have this isolated issue with abstinence. As we realized the point before, it spills into other areas of your life.
Mm.
And it helps to define the kind of person you are because you have a religious or spiritual or a value principle reason for not engaging in sex. Because that's a principle that you have, you become the kind of person who lives by their principles, the kind of person who decides and then acts, the kind of person who does things because they are right, because they make sense to them.
So actually, if we want to have that kind of control over our lives, we should probably go and sit and think, what kind of person do I want to be?
Exactly.
What kind of person do I want other people, if somebody introduces me or if somebody thinks about me or what kind of person do I want them to think about? And then if you write that down, to actually to believe that and to live that way, and that'll help you in other areas of your life.
That is true. That is true. This is one of the benefits of abstaining, in that it helps you create a self-concept that becomes a barrier in your life. It becomes such a huge protection. And over time, when people know you that kind of a person, they stop bothering you. They simply say, forget about that one. He's like this. She's like that. And that's a protection. Once people know that you're this kind of a person, and it's fine, then they stop bothering you and they let you live your life. And they help you uphold this standard, because every time you seem to falter, they're like, hey, how can you of all people? And that serves as a protection in life.
No, I was just thinking that, you know, if you don't like peas, doesn't matter if somebody dresses it up in ice cream, you're not going to eat it because it's not a temptation.
That's true.
So if you're the kind of person who doesn't like those kind of things, you're not going to be tempted to do it at all.
That is true.
Is there any other benefits?
Yes, the last one we're going to talk about today is value development.
Mm-hmm.
One of the advantages of abstaining, because you're doing it out of a reason, no one is forcing you to do it. You have either a spiritual reason for doing it, or you've decided this is the kind of person you want to be. It helps you to develop your values. What's important to you? What's going to govern your life?
Mm.
What are the things you are going to do? What are the things you're not going to do? And many people hardly ever sit down and decide, these are my values.
Mm.
But as you choose the things you do and things you don't do, you are slowly developing your values.
Mm.
And you may not be conscious of it, but people who are watching are coming up with an idea of the kind of person you are. And after a while, you have, by abstaining here and doing that and not doing that, you are forming a person, unconsciously forming a person with a specific set of values.
Mm-hmm.
And your reason for abstaining becomes the foundation of your values. Now, for those people who are spiritual, their reason for abstaining will be that God prefers it that way.
Mm.
God wants us to abstain. God wants us to have sex only in the context of marriage.
Mm.
And once you're able to have that, your values are then grounded on Scripture.
Mm.
When your values are grounded on Scripture, then you discover that in other areas of your life, the same thing happens.
Mm.
Your decisions in other areas, whether it's finance, they're grounded on Scripture. Whether it's a question of career choice, what do you do with your time?
Mm.
Whether it's a question of how do you get out of trouble? All of them will be governed by your values.
Mm.
You've got practice ground when you abstained.
Mm.
So those benefits, you'll find that they go beyond the issue of sexuality. They spread right through your life and they change the kind of person that you are.
Sure. Well, I've really enjoyed this discussion, and I really think that not just me, but also the listeners have benefited from learning what the benefits and what the negative consequences are of the pros and cons of having sex outside of the marriage relation and also inside the marriage relation.
When young people think relationships, we always think about something that's fun, that's inconsequential. But now we need to understand it's got far-reaching implications.
Mm.
It's good to feel special, but let's do it right. Mm. It's for our own good.
Thank you very much. And join us next time, same place, to continue these very interesting topics.
Thank you very much.
Have you heard something on our broadcast that you need further clarification on?
Is there an issue you would like to be addressed? Do you want to greet your brothers and sisters that also listen to us? Write to us. Our mailing address is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. That is AWR, P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. You can also email us using awr at sidmedia.org. That's awr at sidmedia.org.
You're listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, AWR, Adventist World Radio. All right, let's go back to our thought for the day. A little rain each day will fill the rivers to overflowing. What does that mean? What is that telling us? Well, it simply says, you don't have to try to do everything at once. Did you hear that? You can't do everything at once. A steady pace, constantly taking small steps towards your goal, will help you achieve what you want to accomplish. But along helping you accomplish that, also taking small steps can help you to avoid or overcome problems that may arise before they become too overwhelming. Okay? There's no need to rush. Don't try to do everything at once. It's important to start, but take your time. Think about that and listen to this song, a song from Malawi by Bob Zumani.
Inu Yesu Mwandi Itana Mwana Wanga Wera Kwanu Mwandi Uza Mwakuru Luka Zochi Zanga azonse mani itana ninu Yesu sinakane ndavomera nene wanu Anira kunchito nifalitse utengawo jonde mbuye mundi tandize kuigwira chito Itana inu Yesu sinakane davo mera nene wanu unandikula ndi mwazi panta Oh,
Lord, in this suffocate. Oh, my eternal, you know, yes, sin na kane, davo.
Something on our broadcast that you need further clarification on? Is there an issue that you would like addressed? Do you want to greet your brothers and sisters that also listen to us? Write to us. Our mailing address is AWR PO Box 22, Somerset West 7129, South Africa. That is AWR P.O. Box 22, Somerset West, 7129, South Africa. You can also email us using awr@sidmedia.org. That is awr@sidmedia.org.
So remember, a practical thought says, a little rain each day will fill the rivers to overflowing. I'll repeat that. A little rain each day will fill the rivers to overflowing. It's important to pace yourself with your schoolwork, at your job, with your gardening, preparing for a harvest, whatever it is. Pace yourself. Be consistent every day. And before you realize it, you will reach your goal. Okay, guys? Don't forget that.
You're listening to Practical Living right here on your practical station, AWR, Adventist World Radio.
Up next is Practical Bible. Don't change that station. Be blessed.
Hello, this is Pastor Ding. Let us continue with our study on the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. But today, I want us to look at a lady. And her name is Mary. Mary Magdalene. Now, the Bible tells us that for as long as this gospel is preached, the good news of Jesus, that is, that the gospel of Mary will also be preached. But some may ask, what is it about Mary that is so important? What did she do? And in fact, if you read about her in the Bible, in what we call the New Testament, see, the Bible is divided into two portions, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And when you look in the book of Luke, which is found in the New Testament, you can find some of what she had done. But the interesting thing is, Mary was a sinful woman. She was known in her day to be a prostitute. Oh, that is bad. But yet the Bible goes back and says that for as long as the gospel is preached, the gospel of this sinful woman? Why? There's some things that I want us to grab from the story of Mary that have just so much, they have so impacted my life. Can I say that again? There are things I want us to grab from the story of Mary that are just so dear to me, and I think they will help us in our day-to-day lives. Number one, you see, one thing that was interesting about Mary is that she was always at the feet of Jesus. What do I mean? You find that when Jesus, who was a very close friend of theirs, when he came to their home, she was at his feet, listening to the stories that he had. And you also find that later, a story that we will look at today, she was at his feet anointing him. But even when he was at the cross, Mary was there at his feet. So we need to learn this, that we should always come to the feet of Jesus. But there's another thing that interests me. You see, Mary had been forgiven by Jesus so many times. She did this, he forgave her. She did it again, he forgave her, over and over and over again. And one day, there was a party, and Jesus was invited to this party. You'll find this in the book of Luke chapter 7. And when you read from verse 36 going down, you'll find this account. Mary was so excited that Jesus was there. She said, you know what? He's done so much for me. I just have to go there and thank him. And so she sold everything that she had and she bought perfume. And it was put in an alabaster jar. And she says, I'm going to anoint Jesus' feet with this perfume to show my gratitude. And so she went. But you see, there's some things that we need to take into account here. First, where she was going, people knew her to be a sinful woman. And so she wasn't very welcome. But Mary didn't care. She said, I'm going to take that step. I don't care what people say about me. I don't care how they'll look at me. I want to see Jesus and thank him. And you see, she did just that. We need to learn that the world may look at us differently. People may look at us funny because we believe in this Jesus. But we shouldn't care. We should just go forward. And later, we find that she went against the odds because she went into a place in the presence of men and she let down her hair. She did so many things that in that culture were not so common. But she knew that she was going to where Jesus was, and she did not care about that. She said, you know what? If it is for Jesus, I will do it. Isn't that something interesting that we can all learn from? If we know that Jesus is there, if we know that what we're doing will, you know, make him happy, then that is what we should do. For as long as this gospel is preached, the gospel of Mary will also be preached. She went against the culture. She went against, you know, what people believe in, but she did it because she knew there was Jesus. But let me share with you a little story here. There was a girl who grew up in a village and she had, you know, she was a very beautiful young girl and people started to get attracted to her. People from the nearby towns would come in and, you know, take her out. And she got into this type of lifestyle that was kind of bad. But later an evangelist came into that village and after a crusade, after he preached for about 2 weeks, she decided, you know what? Maybe I should change my lifestyle. And she did. But you see, one thing that she didn't do was give up everything. She had a little box where she kept certain things that would remind her of her past life. And every now and again, you know, even though she was a changed person, she was acting better, she would always creep back into that little box and look to see what was inside there. And sometimes she would try on those old clothes and the type of, you know, things she used to wear, and she'd look at herself and think, oh, wow, look at me. I look so beautiful. And little by little, she found that, you know, she started going back to this old lifestyle. But why was that? Because she didn't give everything to the Lord. But when you look back at the story of Mary, she sold everything that she had so that she could present this at Jesus' feet. What is it that you need to bring the feet of Jesus today? Is it a sick child? A sick family member? Is it a burden that you don't know where your next meal will come from? You don't have enough money to get through school. You're troubled in what different way? The feet of Jesus, like Mary. Come to his feet. Bring whatever burdens that you may have. Lay it at his feet. The joys, the sorrow. Jesus cares, and he loves you.
Remember, we give you practical tips and practical advice that will help to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Until next time, God bless.